Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I had a very good mom. She was not raised in a perfect environment, was not raised in an easy situation, came from a broken home, and her name was Gloria Jean. And depending on her mood, we'd either call her Gloria Jean the dancing machine, or Gloria Jean the screaming machine, or Gloria Jean the backhand machine, something like that, based on if I was at home. And but she walked through some pain in her own life. She had 10 miscarriages. I was her 13th pregnancy. And so she had went through a lot of things in her own life, 3 children. My mother fought through some sickness in her own body. My dad went through sickness. And but she was a caregiver. She took care of her mother when she was sick. When my father got sick, she stepped up. We had a family business, a family beach business. And so she would work there and then take care of us. And I started thinking this morning about my mother, made me miss her. And I thought about it. I've got her Bible that she studied out of her last several years of her life. And I got a little journal that she has, a little green journal that I'll look through from time to time. I keep it right there with some of my stuff. And so I thought about it. I had 3 decades with my mom, 3 decades, right at 3 decades. And the first decade, you always have a memory of your mother. So my first decade with her, I just remember because we were at the beach a lot because of the family business at the beach. And we lived a block off the beach. And so I just remember my mother. That she smelled like suntan lotion, like copper tone, you know, like old school copper tone. And she always had sand because she had suntan lotion. So I always felt when she would grab me, it would be sandy hands. And all I would see her in is shorts and a bathing suit top and like a head wrap. She always wore her hair wrapped up in some like towel type motif. I don't know what you would call it. I don't know if it was a motif. I don't know where that came from. But it was just this wrap thing. And she would always wear shorts, and she wore a bathing suit top. I mean, we lived at the beach, and she had it going on. She had no shame, and so she worked with it. And I just remember her that way, that first decade. And then the second decade, when I think about my mother, I see her in an apron, and I see her backhand coming towards me because she didn't play. My mama did not play. She would smack me. She would beat me. She didn't discipline me. She didn't, you know, I'm going to discipline you. The woman beat you, just straight up, just beat you. Mama, I remember telling one time, Mama, I'm going to have, you know, you're traumatizing me by your backhand. Oh, I'm going to traumatize you right now. Get over here. I'm going to traumatize you upside your head. And so my mom was old school. And so I just remember that apron. And when she would wipe her hand on that apron, when I was buzzing around the kitchen, and she'd go to wipe that hand, I knew it was all over for me. And sometimes she didn't even wipe her hand. It was just wet backhanded. Pow! Stung. That's all I'm talking about. So I remember that for the second decade of my life. And then the third decade, my mother kind of found peace. She calmed down. And I think it was mostly due to my father passing away and just the word of God in her own life and church and friends and her daughters and her grandkids. And she was a widow. So I remember her last days of her life were very calm. She just calmed down a lot. And today I want to share one thought with you. And all of our moms, really for everybody, just one, not a lot, just one. Because I believe Jesus does this. I believe he does this, and I believe he's going to do it today. I want to talk for a few minutes on keep calm and carry on. Keep calm and carry on. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the word. Thank you for truth. We pray right now you'd help us. Lord, we're going to commit to letting the word do the work. Just your word in our heart. We'll need nothing but the word. Changes our life. We build our life upon the word. It strengthens us. It shapes us. So Lord, I just pray that we'll lean into the word. Those that are watching online, lean into the word. It's our source and our strength. In Jesus' name, and everybody said a good amen. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, keep calm. Turn to the other person you didn't want to talk to and say, and carry on. I love that saying, keep calm and carry on. Originally, it came out of Britain or the United Kingdom during the World War II period. They printed up over 2.5 million posters, put them all across their nation. It was designed to strengthen the morale of the people because of potential war and because of the idea that they could be invaded by Germany. And so they just felt like, because communication is going to be tough, there may be some dark days, we may not be able to rally everyone, but in all the corners of our nation, at least everyone can get up every day and see these posters that would calm their fear and would help them no matter what they were hearing, no matter what it looked like, no matter what the circumstances were, no matter what the situation is, they'll see that and be encouraged, and it will overcome the fear and the idea of the bad days that could be ahead of us. And so it's been rediscovered lately. It's everywhere. You see it on Twitter. You see it on Instagram over and over again. It's very cool. We have one in our home. It's become very popular. And I just love that. Keep calm and carry on. We got into it as a church. And so we've got all these keep calm and carry on gifts that are in Missions Cafe. And you can go by and support Mission. The things that we're doing, the mission to reach people there at our cafe with one of your keep calm and carry on things that are back there. Just, you know, just looking at the word calm, keep calm, calm, calm. Some of you, that's just a great gift for Mother's Day. Just calm. The word will soothe you. It's, you know, it means undisturbed. That's a great idea. Stillness, peace. Sometimes it's hard to keep calm, to calm down. Because of everything around us, the things we face, the things we walk through, just hearing that word, calm. Pastor, that's a great idea, but my life is not calm. I don't see calm in the future. Calm down. I know for me, it's been something God has been telling me lately. Calm down. Calm down. I have a tendency once in a while to panic and to overreact over something. And feel like God's been telling me to calm down. We say, well, Dino, calm down is one thing, but then to carry on. I mean, for real, you want me to carry on based on what I face, based on what I've gone through? How do I carry on? How do I? I'm trying to stay calm. I can't even imagine carrying on in my life, carrying on in my situation. I don't know if things are going to carry on. So if I don't know if things are going to carry on, then how can I stay calm? Church, I believe that it's a timeless truth for moms and for sisters and girls and daughters, but really for every single person, because Jesus is always leaving someone that he has an encounter with in Scripture with something to go on. I want you to see this. When Jesus would have an encounter with someone, he would leave them with something that they could take a next step. And I know lately we've been talking about next steps, and we put together some DVDs that I just think have just been a lot of fun and have helped a lot of people. I think it's strengthened our church, these next step DVDs that help people go and gather and grow together. And moms, this could be a great gift also. We've got these available when you go outside into the concourse, a gift for you to kind of help invest in your children, your family. You can take these DVDs and watch them with your daughters or watch them with friends. The whole idea is that Jesus takes us into a next step. So we want to help people take a next step. And so that's still available. You can still be a part of this. I think it could be a blessing and a gift to you. They're free, and you can just take them. It's a small group study. It's about 6 weeks, and each one is about 10 minutes. It just helps us to kind of grow together and go together, gather together. So that's available. But Jesus is always taking people to a next step. So here's what I want to do. I want to look into the Word, and I want to look at three different moments that Jesus has with three different women. And in these windows that we look at, I believe you're going to see a need or a problem or something challenging or something that can come against our life or something that we walk through. But then what I love about it is it's just not a window into someone else's life. I believe there's common things that we can look at into this window of Scripture that also can bring a promise to our life. So it's just three biblical windows that also give us a promise. And I'm going to pray for these things throughout our service that God would speak to your heart. So we'll let the Word do the work, because I believe the Bible has something to say to us in the day that we're living in. So let's look at the first window, and we're going to let this sink in. It's in Matthew chapter 9. Just going to give you three windows on this idea of keep calm and carry on to each of our lives. It'll speak to us. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, this is about the woman with the issue of blood. Now, it's in some other gospels. This is the short version. The short version. It says this, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood or issue of blood for 12 years. Everybody say 12 years. For 12 years came from behind him and touched the hem of his garment. So she reached out, touched the hem of Jesus' garment. For she said to herself, I like this, If only I may touch his garment, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around when he saw her. He said to her, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. One of the other gospels says that he felt something. He knew someone grabbed him, even though there were a lot of people around him. But he knew somebody else grabbed him in a different way. And he stopped the crowd. He said, who touched me? Who grabbed him? And the disciples were like, everybody's grabbing you. But she touched him in a different way. He felt what was going on in her life. And so he looks and finds her in the crowd, says, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. This is where Jesus looks at her in her need, in her problem, in her challenge, and says, keep calm and carry on. He says this a lot of places. We could look at a dozen windows in Scripture where Jesus speaks this timeless truth to our lives. So here's this woman. She's had pain for 12 years. Disappointment for 12 years. 12 years is a long time to be disappointed. 12 years is a long time to wait on something. 12 years is a long time, come on, to pray the same prayer. Can I have a good amen? That's a long, long, long time. 12 years. If you're in school and you're in the 10th grade, 12 years feels like forever. If you're 50-something, 40-something like me, I'm old. I'm 47. 12 years is nothing. It's like yesterday. The 12 years is a long time. She's waited 12 years, but she didn't give up in year 12 because it was year 13. And in year 13, something happened. Jesus came around. She heard about it. I don't know how she heard about it. It was talked down at the market. Someone let her know. And out of her sickness, she decided, I've got to get to this man who I have heard helps people. She goes and fights through the crowd, all kinds of people. But she keeps telling herself, I love how she says this. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, if only I may touch his garment, if only I may touch his garment. Guess what? That tells us it's okay to talk to yourself. Why ain't nobody waving at me in the race seats? Where are you at? Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. I know you're crazy, but we're going to get to crazy in a second. God's okay with your crazy because everybody got crazy. Turn to the person next to you and say, you got crazy. Everybody got crazy. She's just talking to herself. I read that this morning. I was like, thank you, Lord. I thought I was the only one talking to yourself. Okay, it's going to be okay. 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 If only I could touch him. If only, oh, there's a lot of people there. Oh, I've got to go home. No, if only if I could touch him. If only I could touch him. There's no sense. There's too many people. Too many people. Too many people. If only I could touch him. Too many people. Tell me. And she reaches through that crowd. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Get out of my way. Excuse me. Excuse me. All of a sudden, she reaches through. It's just that him. And she grabs. Boom. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, fills her. He fills her before he hears her. He fills her before he sees her. Don't you tell me God doesn't know what you're feeling. I've told myself that. God doesn't care how I feel. God's not aware of what I'm feeling. Because I can be black and white. I can be hard on myself. God doesn't care about what you're feeling. God doesn't care about what you're feeling. You shouldn't feel that way. You shouldn't feel that way. You shouldn't feel that way. Then I read this verse this morning, and I thought, thank you, Lord, that you felt her, and then you healed her. Somebody needed to hear that today. He does care about what you're feeling. Doesn't mean your feelings are right. Doesn't mean that your feelings are telling you the truth. But can I tell you something? He's aware of your feelings. He felt her and he healed her. And then he said to her, hey, keep calm and carry on. It's going to be okay. Keep calm and carry on. He even said this in Mark in the encounter. He said to her, daughter, she hadn't heard that in a while. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your affliction. Keep calm and carry on. Here's the first window. She was fighting disappointment. She had been disappointed. Have you ever fought disappointment? Have people ever disappointed you? Have you ever disappointed yourself? Have you ever felt like you're a big disappointment? But guess what? There's a promise. Jesus didn't leave her drowning in her disappointment. Guess what he did? He brought a promise, and the promise was a promise of peace. 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 The peace I give you. Not as the world gives it. Peace I leave with you. There's nothing like the peace of God. And there's nothing worse than when you don't have peace. You can have everything in the world, but if you don't have peace, it is rough. I want you to bow your head. Lord, I pray for every person today who needs peace. Peace, peace, peace. All across this room, if you need peace, just raise up your hand. Father, I pray for, just lift up your head, don't be ashamed. Father, I pray for every person who needs peace in their life right now. Home, heart, they're feeling something that hurts them. Their feelings are in control. In reality, they know everything's okay. But there's a thought or a feeling that in the middle of the day, in the middle of the morning, in the middle of the night, haunts them. I pray for peace. Peace, peace, peace. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Let's check out the second window. The second window is found in John chapter 8. This one you can just read and just go with it. It says, when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, now early in the morning, he came again to the temple and all the people were there. He sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees. They're a rough bunch. The scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, I love how they call him teacher. Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, the very act. Now Moses and the command, I think Pharisees and scribes talk like this. Now Moses and the law commanded us that she should be stoned. What do you say? They said this testing him, that they might have something which to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and wrote in the ground with his finger as though he did not hear them. So they continued asking him. He raised up himself and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. He again stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted of their conscience, which was a miracle, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus raised himself up, he saw no one but this woman. And he said to her, Woman, where are thy accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. I think it's interesting that those who knew or were supposed to know God referred to him as teacher. But the one who barely knew him and knew him the shortest and would know him the least refers to him as Lord. Oh, somebody ought to get that. Sometimes those who know him the longest, oh, come on, somebody. I wish I had somebody help me preach up in this house. Sometimes those who know him the longest only see him as a teacher, an instructor of right and wrong. But then those of us who still feel like they're in kindergarten as it relates to God, you just want to call him Lord. You just want to know him as your Lord. Treat her right. Treat your mama right. Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Woman, keep calm. Carry on. Keep calm and carry on. And here's how she's to carry on, verse 12. Jesus spoke this and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Don't walk in those dark places no more. Have the light of life. It's very simple. She made mistakes. She had sinned. Sin causes pain. Therefore, now she stands alone. She's made bad choices. She has a broken life. She deserves judgment just like all of us. But she ends up at the feet of the right judge. If you're ever going before a judge, you're praying, boy, I hope I see the good judge. How many, if you had to stand before a judge, you wouldn't want to walk in with one who just had like bad lunch. Man, I had to wait like 2 hours. Man, I ate some tacos. It's bad. My stomach's all tore up. Who's next? Do you need Pepto? You'd want to see a judge who walked in and said, oh, man, it's a great day to be alive. I just had a grandbaby. What can I do for you, sweetheart? I just had a grandbaby. He says, keep calm and carry on. Start a new life, a changed life, a whole life. I love how Jesus chose not to labor her. He calls her woman. She calls him Lord. Here's the second window. Bad choices. You ever made bad choices? I sure have. Bad choices. But then there's a promise to those who make bad choices. And it's a promise of forgiveness and a fresh start. I want you to bow your heads. Lord, I pray for every person here today who needs forgiveness because of bad choices and a fresh start in Jesus. All across this room with every head bowed, if you say, Dino, can you pray for me? I've made some bad choices and I need Jesus to just forgive me, or I need to forgive. I just need forgiveness and a fresh start. Would you just raise up your hand right now? Just forgiveness and a fresh start. My hand's up. Forgiveness and a fresh start. Lord, I pray for every person today who needs forgiveness and a fresh start. In Jesus' name. Let's check out this last window. It's found in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28. It's one of my favorite. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Cana came to him in the region and cried out and said, have mercy on me, son of David. My daughter is severely. The first one is sick. The second one is struggling with sin. The third one has something severe. Why is it severe? Because it's not happening to her, it's happening to her daughter. There's not a person in here who's a mother or a father who doesn't understand that you would rather go through something other than your child go through something. That you would actually take the place of your child if they're walking through something. It wouldn't even be a choice. It would be quick. Yes, 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 I'll do it. Take me. That's severe. When something happens, a parent sees something severe when it's happening to their child. She says something severe. She's demon-possessed. He answers her not a word. Jesus doesn't say anything to her. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Leave her alone. She's bothering us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What he's saying to her is, it's not your time yet, baby. You're a Gentile. You come from the wrong side of the track. We're going to get to you later. Right now, I'm trying to deal with my own people. Then she said, and she came and worshiped him anyway, even though the disciples were trying to stop her, and said, Lord, help me. I love those three words. Why? Because it seems like the older I get, the more I pray that prayer. Now, when I was young, I tried to prove to the Lord and impress the Lord and convince the Lord and just let him know how incredible I was and how dedicated I was and how committed I was and how loyal I was and just how radical I am. Radical. I'm radical, God. But the older I get, the shorter my prayers become. Come on, the more I live, the more I walk through things, the more I understand the mercy of God and a little bit more about the grace of God. I pray about one prayer these days. Lord, help me. I need your help. Help. Help me. It was enough to get his attention. The answer said, it's not good for me to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs, the little puppies under the table. Yep, 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 yep. And she said, oh, yes, Lord, yet. Even the little dogs, the little puppies snipping at the side. Yep, 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 yep. They eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus said, Lord, woman, Woman. Where'd you get that from? You ever said something to somebody and they come back with something? You're like, Lord, where'd you get that from? How you come up with that? I mean, she says, he said, well, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Boom. Shakalaka. The woman had everything against her. And her daughter was in a deep, dark place. Her daughter was at a place. Severe. Severe. To know that your daughter is demon possessed, under the control of something else. She went to Jesus. She didn't have much. She was in a bad mess. But she was a mama who decided to have faith and love. I like this woman. I don't know her name, but I like her. Just a quick dialogue. Here she is. We'll call her. First service I called her Gloria Jean, but this service I want to call her Lucinda. And so Lucinda comes to at that day and says, I got to see Jesus. Well, Jesus is busy right now. I know, but I'm going to see Jesus. No, Jesus is busy. So excuse me. It gets all loud. You know people get loud. It gets loud. I need some help. I need some help, Lord. I need some help. Disciples, shh. He's busy. He's got a lot going on right now. We've got some appointments and we're kind of talking to him. Shh. Don't be shooting me. Crazy eyes. You know people with crazy eyes? Excuse me, Jesus. I need some help over here. What's going on? My daughter. It's bad. It's horrible. It's deep. You don't believe the things I'm going through. How hard this is. It never ends. Right when I think we have a breakthrough, it gets worse. And it's terrible. It's dark in my life. And I can't see her go through this again. I can't take when she goes into this trance, this misery, this place. You've got to help me. And Jesus said, whoa. Now, you know, I've only come from my family right now. We're going to get to you a little bit late. No, we can get to me now. Now you got to take a number. Now I'm not taking a number, disciples. Shh, Lucinda, baby, don't touch me. You touch me again, I'm going to beat all 12 of y'all. Don't touch me. You grab me by my arm one more time. I'm going to slap you all over this path. One time. I need some help. Jesus, y'all better back up. I'll tell you straight up right now. You're going to hurt somebody. Okay, what you need? My daughter right now needs some help right now. Well, I can't give you the food from this table. She says, I'll get down on my hands and knees. I will get up under this table. All I need is a crumb from the master's table. I don't mind if you think I'm a puppy. I don't mind if you think I'm a golden retriever. I don't mind if you think I'm a Yorkie. Somebody go help my daughter today. And Jesus says, Lord have mercy. Ow! I will give you what you want. Boom, shakalaka. That's my interpretation. Class of 82. She wasn't too embarrassed. The window is an impossible situation. The promise is faith. Three women, three windows, three miracles, three promises. Amen. I don't know why we live in such an embarrassed society. We are embarrassed about everything. We're embarrassed to admit that we have a problem. We're embarrassed to admit that someone may think less of us. We're embarrassed. We struggle with being embarrassed. She brings her embarrassment to Jesus. Says, I don't care what any of y'all think about. I can't keep living this way. You have nothing to be embarrassed about. Nothing. You don't have anything to be embarrassed about.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.